This is the end, beautiful friend. This is the end, my only friend, the end of our elaborate plans, the end of everything that stands, the end. No safety or surprise, the end. I'll never look into your eyes again. Can you picture what will be so limitless and free? Desperately in need of some.
What a day it's been. Stranger's hand. Amazing day. I had an hour and a half sleep last night. And a lot of things eating at me. Got up. I had a list of things to do today. And boy, did I get on it. I was on the phone with my heart doctor. I was on the phone with the other doctor, the P doctor, IP Freely. I didn't get to talk to the doctor, but I talked to other people, you know. And lay the game plan. I'm not doing this surgery. I've elected to put it off or postpone it or cancel it altogether. Because I found out it's their intent to, in effect, go in there and remove my something or other. But some things happened last night that were amazingly positive. And I could feel it. I felt trepidation. I felt anxiety. I felt degrees of fear last night. And then some things began to happen that have not happened during this last 4 months. And I realized, we're on the mend, baby. And it's not because advice doctors have given me. That's for damn sure. I've had more calls, more texts, more emails from listeners and people guiding me. Get a hold of this guy. Get a hold of this guy. Well, then I found a commonality because two of our listeners guided me to the same product, but through two different venues. So apparently, I'm not dealing with something that's all that damn uncommon. You know, you start getting older and things start clogging up, things start overblowing, overgrowing, etc., etc., etc. So I've accomplished much this day, and I'm not complaining about one bit of it. Even all, Jeff Bennett here with another installment of The Edge of Darkness. Or maybe it's the end. Quite an interesting day in the metals market. I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about it. It's not on our agenda for today. Palladium took a huge hit, down $33.50 today. Close at $1,874. Platinum down $17.26 to close at $9.88. Silver down 30 cents. It closed at $22.83. Now, gold had a real wild ride today. Gold right now is pretty much where it sat night before last. And then it jumped up to 1830 at one point in time early this morning. Settled at $1,810. So, you know, we've done some decent trades, done some interesting things for some good folks. And but it's typical. This is what you expect to find in the early part of the year. Typically, the markets will tend to keep moving upward until probably the end of May, somewhere in that time period. And then nobody cares anymore because they're off on summer vacation. To where? For what purpose?
To wear a mask at the beach? God! We are so screwed!
And no, to answer questions that were posed to me by several people after last night's program, no, I was not drinking. Lord, help us all. Corruption. Something we're certainly facing. Something we're living under. Corruption in every possible aspect of our lives. Every corner of whatever. We're being corrupted. You know, America is drowning in debt. Not just financially, but in debt in life. It's not just individually, but the government can't seem to stop spending money. Our money. The waste in government is shocking, to say the least. Seems to be in every area of our government. There was an interview recently by Jim Jordan concerning the CDC, the NIAID, the NIH. We find that the budget for the CDC is 9 billion big ones. The NIAID has a budget of 6 billion. The NIH has a budget of between $42 and $43 billion. What's the NIH? Is that the National Institute of Health? Or the National Institute of Hell, I'm not sure. There's about 31,000 employees at the CC and the NIH, CDC and the NIH, but in all of that, they've never done a study on natural immunity. Most of these studies are done overseas, primarily by Israel. You know, the people that bombed out the USS Liberty. Studies show that natural immunity is about 27 times more effective than any form of a vaccine, period. Natural immunity. One would think that if natural immunity is that effective, we should spend a good portion of that $58 billion on studies about natural immunity. But the problem is natural immunity doesn't make big pharma any money. Vaccines do. Follow the money. My phone just beeped. Is that you, Southern? Government also wastes an unbelievable amount of money on stuff that should be left to private industry. Seems to be no sense, no accountability for some of the spending the government does. You know, in a report from back in '09, that's 2009, and in it, they said the Pentagon recently spent $988,798 shipping two 19-cent washers from South Carolina to Texas. And $293,451 sending an 89-cent washer from South Carolina to Florida. I mean, having spent, you know, 4+ years... in the military, I'm kind of a fan, but this is ridiculous. They seem to have a blank check sometimes for certain items. Government accounting audit found that 95 Pentagon weapons systems suffered from a combined $295 billion in cost overruns. There's no accountability for any of these people. We're the government. We can do whatever the hell we want because you dumb bastards is paying for it anyhow. Oh, come on. We've all heard about the infamous earmarks that our members of Congress slip into a spending bill. Pet projects for members of Congress and their districts that help them get reelected. Help them get reelected? They just got bought. despite trillion-dollar deficits, last year's 10,160 earmarks included $200,000 for a tattoo removal program in Mission Hills, California. $190,000 for the Buffalo Bill Historical Center in Cody, Wyoming, and $75,000 for the Totally Teen Zone in Albany, Georgia. Totally Teen Zone. That must be where Epstein's buddies and friends went to pick up teenage kids and turn them into sex machines, huh? Yeah, baby. Listen, this kind of corruption goes far beyond just money. We've learned that the largest contributor to autism is a product called glyphosate, which is the main ingredient in Agent Orange, heavily used in the NAM in the 1960s and 70s. The main ingredient in the weed killer Roundup, another 25%. The interaction of toxic exposures and genetic factors is thought to be causative. 14, 15 in 2012, scientists identified 10 chemicals suspected of causing learning disabilities. Lead, polychlorinated biphenyls, organic chlorine pesticides, automotive exhaust, brominated or brominated flame retardants, organophosphate pesticides, including glyphosate, endocrine disrupting chemicals. It goes on and on and on. And of all of those, glyphosate is the top suspect for the simple reason that exposure to it is so widespread. Research 19, published in 2019, found that women exposed to 11 commonly used pesticides, including glyphosate, during pregnancy, have a higher risk of having a child diagnosed with autism. Oh, good. Then they can abort them and sell their body parts so that 400 million people can wind up getting vaccines. Pregnant women who live within a 2,000 meter, that's 1.24 miles, radius of a highly sprayed area were 10% to 16% more likely to have children diagnosed with autism than those who live further away. Time magazine reported that when they looked at diagnosis of autism spectrum disorder, that also came with intellectual disabilities. Maybe that's what's wrong with Joey. They found an average 30% higher rates among children who were exposed to the pesticides while in utero. Exposure in the first year of life increased the risk of autism by up to 50% compared to those not exposed to certain pesticides. Now, keep in mind, the FDA, the EPA, they've all approved the use of this product on the food we eat. And, of course, it's the kind of funky, phony food that little Billy Bob Gates wants to be growing and feeding to us, making us buy all those super burgers at Denny's and Jack in the Box and everything else, those all you can make burgers or whatever the heck they call them. They're all phony. They claim they're all vegetable. Vegetable. They're turning the whole world into vegetables, feeding them that crap. You remember DDT when you were a kid? Now, I'm not obviously talking to everybody here. We're talking to some of you old folks like me. We remember DDT. Negative effect on birds and animals. But we've ignored the effect of this deadly chemical. It's put an end to our food. And this team, led by Paul Winchester, medical director of the neonatal intensive care unit at the Franciscan St. Francis Health System and professor of clinical pediatrics at Riley Hospital for Children in Indianapolis, you know, just down the road from where they have the 500, found glyphosate residues in 90% of women. High levels of those residues appeared to correlate with shortened pregnancies, below average birth rates, weights adjusted for age. And the findings alarm the researchers because such babies are at increased risk of diabetes, heart disease, high blood pressure, lower cognitive abilities. Gestational age maximizes the size of your brain at birth. That's where our problem is. That's why our kids are growing up so dumb. Because the size of their brain at birth has been greatly decreased. And keep in mind, any shortening is essentially a reduction of the IQ points. Duh. It was said in an interview with Fern's AG Insider, it's not just health, but lifetime achievement implications. Makes you wonder how much in political contributions companies like Bayer and Monsanto and others make to members of Congress. The original manufacturer of glyphosate is Monsanto. They lost a $10.9 billion lawsuit because of the cancers that this product causes. But you can still walk into any Home Depot or Lowe's or Ace Hardware and buy Roundup by the gallons. And what's Roundup full of? Glyphosate. And animals are considered more valuable than humans, specifically our children. In my opinion, only corrupt politicians would take bribes in the form of political contributions to allow this product to be used in our food production. I had brothers who died from exposure to Agent Orange while in Vietnam. Families never compensated. Obvious that our politicians have been well compensated by the pharmaceutical companies. Another blatant violation of the Constitution is that our federal government has done specifically this Bite Me administration, completely ignoring Article 4, Section 4, which states the United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government and shall protect each of them from invasion, end of quote. And both of those provisions have been violated, specifically the invasion article. Southern border blown up. Biden administration doing not a damn thing to fix it. Old Trump was building a wall, which Biden stopped on his first day in office. Now we're being overrun by illegals to the tune of over 6,500 people a day. And that's just those that we catch. And the worst part of all this is the Republic rats aren't demanding that something be done. But then, of course, George W. Bush, that's Junior, he refused to do anything. His daddy left it open. Jeb would have done anything, wouldn't have done anything either, so this shouldn't be a big surprise. Now, all these illegals were hiding in the bushes. Now, what we share with you, my friends, doesn't even begin to scratch the surface of how corrupt the federal government is. State governments have proven just as bad. California, Illinois, New York, Jersey. The majority of all Democratic-run states prove that very point. Isn't it time to pay attention to who the hell we put in office? A lot of attention? Because the ones that we have put in there and continue to send back there are destroying this nation. It's time to destroy them. Almost makes you want to go back in and play the do 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 do. Unbelievable. And so here we sit on this fifth day of the new year. Spooky stuff, isn't it? Nothing changes. There's been no Happy New Year to celebrate by any stretch of the imagination. It's just like this is still the 31st day of December. It's still the 5th day of January of last year and the year before, when all this was going up in smoke and getting ready to get unloaded upon us. And yet there's people that always want to know what the future will bring, as if it's a mysterious package waiting to be delivered. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. What awaits us all are pretty much the doings of the same people we've allowed to govern our lives, all of our lives, but more so the last 2 years. God, one of the biggest headlines of the week was how much money Nancy Pelosi has invested in various aspects of the stock market. Now she's cleaning it up, baby. We need to clean up. Nancy Pelosi needs to get hung out. I ain't talking about the dry. That bitch needs to have a rope around her neck and needs to be swinging. Based on the incriminating VAERS data that long ago should have avoided vaccines, along with the incredible global push to keep them going in defiance of the facts, especially the campaign to jab the kiddies, coupled with the attack on cheap, effective, safe alternatives, as well as the censorship of misinformation spreaders, like the inventor of the mRNA technology used in the vaccines. Oh, you know, Dr. Robert Malone. Folks, we're in the thick of an ongoing mass murder campaign in which the goal is to kill as many of us as possible. And yet we're subjecting the survivors to something like China's social credit system. And so we have three choices. Death, slavery. That's if we don't fight back. It's time to fight back. Same old thing that I had to get in line to pick up a prescription. Did it in my car. And ever since, just wasted time in my life. People trying to pick up prescriptions. The guy in front of me in a truck, he and his woman sat there shooting the breeze, laughing the whole 9 yards. They're waiting and waiting and waiting. They picked up this massive bag of pharmaceuticals. But apparently not was all ready. So instead of saying, sir, you're going to have to park your truck and come on in, they let him just drag up the line. There was 7 cars behind him. We were next. Some people finally got enough and left. You hit the drive-thru. It's supposed to be pick and drop. Go. Get your stuff and boogie. You don't go through a drive-through window to take your COVID test. But that's what Walgreens is doing now. Now I get up the window and kind of shoot the breeze with this sister. Dark-skinned beauty. And I said to her, I said, I want to suggest, when are we going to start giving birth to babies at the window? She said, I'll put that in the suggestion box. I said, I got a better suggestion for you. Get somebody to wash this window at the drive-thru so I can look through the glass and see your beautiful face. She just busted out laughing. I've got to find something to laugh about and smile about in this world, folks, because if I don't, I'm going to go bonkers. So here we sit. There's going to be more of anything that promises big revenues, big pharma, patented drugs, re-education camp construction, staffing, government boondoggles highlighted by war, counterfeit money issued by the central bank, which is viewed as legitimate because it's alleged to keep the economy churning and the government solvent. Will there be any prosperity? Will you, in particular, will you get richer? I mean, if central bankers are your close friends, you can count on it for the time being. And since the Fed exists to protect the biggest banks through counterfeiting, oh, you can ride that wave even if you're not a banker. At least until reality reduces the dollar to something suitable for lining bird cages and litter boxes, but not much else. Well, wait a minute. Why would you use the dollar to line a birdcage? You could just drop it on your floor and crap on it yourself. Why should the birds get all the fun? Look, it's simple, folks. If you're not friends with Jerome and his buddies on the FOMC, you might find your prosperity hurting. Oh, is that what that thing is called? My prosperity? When was the last time you could put money in a savings account and expect it to earn interest? It's unbelievable. I mean, this transaction I wrote yesterday, you know, they've got 400 grand sitting in the bank earning paltry interest. And the bank can't understand why she wants to take almost two-thirds of that money or three-quarters of that money and put it somewhere else. The bank just had almost $300,000 taken out of their accounts. It's been wired to me. Hell, I should just get the money and book on down the road, but I'm not like that. Hey, when did you ever hold on to the official money of the realm and have it rise in value? What are they paying, 0.25% interest today? Maybe in some instances you get nearly 0.5%. This ain't 1968, people. 1968, I was still in Germany. I was getting ready to go to Nam. And a passbook savings account paid 4.5% to 5%. I know that because my family's banker's daughter is a gal that I liked a lot. She's a good friend. You know, when folks held gold or silver coins, it was not only natural, but it was common to increase your purchasing power. And that's why people are buying it today. They're scared to death of what the hell's going on. Is that called deflation? Ultimate forbidden word among bankers? Is an outgrowth of barter and money in an advanced economy will rise in purchasing power because nature provides a limited amount of it? I mean, folks, look, if nature lets us down, we find something else to use for money. If the, you know, we are people who use it every day rather than powerful special interests who impose it on us at the point of a gun. God, we're so screwed. So stinkingly screwed. Now, I know I've got a real interesting approach to this program today. It's not all going to be this ugly. But just hang on. Okay, so now we have to address the further problem with the Fed. It's the role it plays in our lives. Systemic disease, but regarded as an absolutely necessary part of the economy. Without it, the wars and the welfare would be paid for directly from taxes. Imagine how puny those wars would be. They'd be over in a matter of minutes. And then in the economic majors who took their academic interest to the doctoral level, you might find policy criticism, but not fundamental criticism. And on fundamentals, the Fed is a bloodsucker. I'm being polite. A vampire. As all counterfeiters are. But this counterfeiter is special. Because it's been granted monopoly privilege from our elected officials. And the money it prints is the country's money, and all others are prosecuted to the hilt. And so other than government itself, it is impossible to find a more lucrative racket. And aside from Austrian economists, this view of the Federal Reserve System emanating from a secret meeting of big bankers and a politician in 1910 at this place called Jekyll Island. It was a hunting resort. They were hunting for our heads, baby. And that place was regarded as the epitome of delusional conspiracy. In other words, don't even think about ending the Fed. But really, think about it. Think hard about it. They need to get a new head of the Federal Reserve and have some guy named Ed. We get rid of Ed and the Fed all at the same time, you know. I mean, when I said to you the Fed's a systemic disease affecting morals, truth, language, everything else, how could governments lock people in their homes and shut down their businesses without it? Where did all these COVID relief checks come from? What happened to the people who didn't get one? Big Pharma owns the FDA. The Fed owns the economics profession. And no economist dares call it a counterfeiter other than Austrians and students such as me. I mean, I'm not a student in the regular sense, but we're all learning. The Fed over the decades and the years has made war and conflict a seemingly natural condition of mankind. It gives people like AOC the impression that money is a matter of will, not reality. That supply is infinite. And the U.S. deep state that Truman birthed in 1947 wants to make the U.S. the most dangerous brute ever. And the Federal Reserve Wilson signed into law 2 days before Christmas in 1913 has made that status dream possible. Well, he didn't sign into law in 1913, but it was in 2 days before Christmas, but it was voted in. You know, people regard the Fed as a mystery. It was meant to be like that. Just like Fauci's whopper about the vaccine, Fed claims to provide the country with a currency that's safe and effective. People sense something is wrong with both. Or maybe they don't. But if the vaccine is safe, why has it killed over 20,000 people? Maybe more. Why is it kept on the market and promoted with the H1N1 vaccine in 1976 was pulled after 32 deaths? Why are healthcare professionals reprimanded for reporting problems to VAERS? If it's effective, why are the vaccinated filling hospital beds and cemetery holes? If the Fed's money is safe and effective, why has it dwindled in value to nearly zero? If Fed money is safe, why did the Fed's monetary policy of the 1920s end with a crash? You know how long it took for this country to recover from the crash of 1929, the stock market crash in 1929? 1929, 39, 49, 80. It took 25 years for this country to recover from that stock market crash. And even that recovery was all bullshit. The Dow Jones Industrial reached a peak in May of 1929, which it did not reach again until 1955. They don't care. None of this has to be this way. So don't worry so much about the next election, because all they do is promote more of the same. Think beyond the political process. Keep the free market alive. And as Mises has written, capitalism, the free market, that's what delivers the goods. Rothbard and others believe it can deliver goods of all kinds, including the ones believed to be in the exclusive domain of governments, courts, defense. Devote your energy to replacing the criminal gang called government with the market, the free market, and you'll be a part of building the foundation for a prosperous and peaceful society. If you wait for this to happen, you'll get what they give you. It won't be freedom. Wait for it to happen, you'll get what they give you. Yeah. Just don't bend over while you're waiting, because they'll give it to you, all right. Have I offended any of you yet? Because if I haven't, or if I haven't gotten you a nod to your head, then I ain't doing my job here tonight. What we've got here is a failure to communicate. Yeah. And that is exactly the problem. Those who are on the giving end and those who've been on the receiving end. The problem is the majority of Americans are on the receiving end. Oh, they're taking it right where the moon don't shine, baby. Enough to sicken you. One week from today, I think, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Yeah, one week from today, my buddy Brother Smooth arrives from New York. Now, at the age of 75, he no longer lives in New York, believe it or not. The guy and his wife actually moved out of New York. Just to Pennsylvania, you know, big deal. They sold the house, took in the money. They wanted to live near the daughter and the grandkids. I met Raymond in 1968 in Vietnam. 1970 became the best man at my wedding. He's been our tax accountant and whatever for God knows how many decades now. He'll be arriving. And once he gets here, I'll basically be shutting down live broadcast for 4 days. I'm already prepping some things that we're going to run for that time period he's here. A lot of work to do on accounting and taxes. And I recovered some things last night on computers and printed things out because I didn't want to take a chance. Oh, I've still got computer issues. Still got a loss of client files, et cetera, et cetera. Man, I've sure written some good business today. There's some people out there who get it. They see where we're going. Having met Raymond in Vietnam, and many years later, I think I posted an article on a website that was specifically designed to honor members of the company we were in. 498th Medical Evac Company. Dust off. One of our compatriots found us. He was more interested in the fact that he'd found Raymond because of my commentary. So I got the two of them in touch. The three of us. Oh, and I remember Leonard. He's a guy that we like to tease him, but the CIA is still investigating him because he would trade cases of GI PX paid for beer with the Vietnamese to get ice. Three of us gotten together every year now for 11 years. There's 1 year I didn't attend. I couldn't do it. For me, compared to what we're living through today, is a place of peace. And today we honor a man who recently departed his life for the next. He did it on the day after Christmas. Third Medal of Honor recipient that we've said farewell to in 2021. After the deaths of Tech Sergeant Charlie Coolidge, Lieutenant Colonel Chuck Hagemeister, a quiet man, humble man, Barry Bikert, departed this life. Gary was a Vietnam veteran whose Medal of Honor citation can be found on the line. Instrumental in shaping, supporting the character education curriculum of our National Medal of Honor Heritage Center. After his service as a Green Beret Sergeant, a medic with Detachment B-24, Company B, 5th Special Forces Group, Airborne, 1st Special Forces, Gary came back to the States. He intended to attending seminary, intending to return to Vietnam and work as a missionary hospital in Con Tum province, where he had served. McGarry completed his seminary work, but after the fall of Saigon, he completed an additional advanced degree in counseling, became an effective school guidance counselor, pastoring on the weekends. But to that end, his advice on developing the National Heritage Center's education curriculum, especially regarding the character traits associated with the Medal of Honor, became indispensable. I had the privilege to watch Gary address a class of middle school students before the very destructive COVID school shutdowns. You could hear a pin drop in that room. Gary inscribed a copy of his citation to his students, noting that to really live, you must almost die. To those who fought for it, life has a meaning the protected will never know. Life is about loving God and others. There was a book written about his life and service to our nation and God. The book was entitled Blaze of Light. It was written by Marcus Brotherton. And Gary noted that for his honor, on April 1, 1970, I almost lost my life. July 2, 1972, I found eternal life. On October 15, 1973, my country said I was a hero, but I knew the truth. Once a man of war, now a man of God. Gary was clear. My story is God's story. The medal is not about me. The medal is about Him. For without God's grace, I would not have been able to survive Vietnam. Without His forgiveness in my life, I would not have been able to live with myself. Without His love, I wouldn't have healed from my wounds. This medal is ultimately about Him, and I wear it for His honor. Gary had been fighting cancer for the last year of his life. And his son Stephen wrote of his passing the day after Christmas. He said, "My father was able to give us the best Christmas present ever. He gave our family one last Christmas together. All of us were here yesterday," he said. "We were all able to see him and say our goodbyes. He was a blessing and a hero to everyone that knew him. I'm incredibly blessed to be able to call this hero my dad and a papa to my kids." Stephen concluded by saying, "I love you so much. I'm happy you're at peace with God now. Continued prayers for comfort are welcomed and appreciated." His daughter Stephanie added that there was immense love and caring from him, also strength. And he was a quiet man, but he had such strength, and he imparted that to anyone he spoke to. He would always say to live a life of significance, to make sure that what you're doing has a purpose. His daughter concluded by saying, "That motivates me to always want to have a purpose in everything I do. For everyone I meet, everyone I talk to really point them to Jesus." Gary left behind his wife, Lolly, and a large family. He was 74. Mix raised the eyebrows. "I will be 74 next month. Thank you, Gary." "Thank you, my brother. God bless you and your family." Michael, I need a couple of minutes. Can you reintroduce that piece of music we opened with? That's if Michael's there. He may not be. Probably outside having a smoke or a can of beer or something. Gary Bikerish. Stick around. We'll be back.
Lost in a romance, wilderness of pain, and all the children are insane. All the children are insane. There's danger on the edge of town. Ride the king's highway, baby. Weird scenes inside the gold mine. Ride the highway west, baby. Ride the snake, ride the snake to the lake, the ancient lake, baby. The snake is long, 7 miles. Ride the snake, he's old and his skin is cold. The West is the best. The West is the best. Get here and we'll do the rest. The blue bus is calling us. The blue bus. The killer awoke before dawn. He put his boots on. He took a face from the ancient gallery and he walked on down the hall. He went into the room where his sister lived, and then he paid a visit to his brother, and then he walked on down the hall, and he came to a door.
And there are those of you who have to wonder why we're playing this particular piece of music. If you go to federalobserver.com, down the right-hand column, you'll see a small little panel for a video. We have a category called The Nom. I don't post a lot in it. I'm very selective about the things I do post there. What I've just shared with you, I will post there tonight. But directly below the image for the link, The Nom, is this video by The Doors. And their music was put to scenes from the movie whose name just totally escapes me right now. Apocalypse Now. The funny thing is, I've never seen the entire movie. Those of us who served don't necessarily watch stuff like this. I've never seen the entire movie, The Deer Hunter. I lived it. I don't need it. It's not that I have a fear of being reminded of it. I just don't need it. I moved on. I left Vietnam on January the 6th, 1970. Tomorrow's that anniversary. And the next day, I mustered out. Booked down to L.A. for a couple of days. See my aunt and uncle. And then I headed back to Chicago. A few weeks later, I met a woman that I would one day marry. Later that year. And 51 years later, we're still together. God knows how. Watch that video. It has greater meaning to the music. And many of us know our time is nearing. I feel bad, Gary passing from cancer. Bar other forms of death, or even life, took the lives of so many of my brothers and sisters. Astounding. It's saddening. When I reached the end of this piece I've just shared with you, I needed to get up and walk away for a moment. And that's why the music. Emails I've received or text messages I've received from folks. My friend Dr. Fred. And he and I have found that we share so much in common. Grew up within miles, very close miles to one another. Share a commonality of music. He enjoys the Living Daylights out of the music programs we do on Friday nights, because many of these same people he and I both saw, not knowing each other so many years ago, we both saw these people at the Ravinia Festival. We're familiar with some of the same establishments in Evanston, Illinois. We have a commonality of many things. Probably we have discommonalities of other things. But he sent me four texts while this program was airing today. He says, it's amazing how the media likes to portray Viet vets as troubled, but there are more stories like your friend. He says, I don't know how you get by on Navy SEAL Hell Week sleep schedules. Still have an awesome program. I do like the music you open with tonight. It's amazing. We're going to close out with some more of this music. The Doors. It's the end. but not for me. Not yet. We'll see you tomorrow night. Good night.
This is the end, beautiful friend. This is the end, my only friend, the end. It hurts to set you free, but you'll never follow me. The end of laughter and soft lies. The end of nights we try to die. This is the end.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.